1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I want to read verse 16, probably down two or three verses here tonight. First Chronicles 12, verse 16 says, "And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them, and made them captains of the band. And there fell some of Manasseh to David, when he came with the Philistines against Saul to battle, but they helped him not, for the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying, He will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads." I'm going to stop reading there tonight. Father, we thank you. We have the privilege of this, your great book. Lord, on our Bibles is written Holy Bible. We believe that tonight because it's from you. We pray that you might speak to our hearts from it tonight. Guide and direct. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. In our day and age, there's some things that really plague us in our churches. Indecision, apathy, laziness, heartlessness. They are plagues of modern American Christianity. While we as God's people are sitting on our couches, sipping our tea and indulging in all of our pleasures, there is literally thousands of battles going on for the souls of men and the families that inhabit our great country. We find here some mighty men spoken of. We find these men as we look at them in the middle of this chapter, chapter number 12, we see these men with something that is needed sorely in our ranks. Something that I need, something you need, something we all need, that we might be certainly a greater testimony, a greater help to the work of God. And let me put it in this one big word, decisiveness. Decisiveness. I'm the kind of guy that somebody asks me a question, I like to think about it just a little bit and drive some people absolutely nuts. But I want to be sure when I give the answer that is right. But nonetheless, we need to be decisive in our actions. Now, the only area that some people are decisive in and you can count on is, I quit. There's always certain ones, I quit. And that's not decisiveness. That's cowardness most of the time. Decisiveness is really not about quitting, but about doing. It's about getting involved. It's about saying, hey, you can count on me. It's about saying, here I am, Lord. I am ready to do whatever it is that you want me to do. Now, David, at this particular time, it says he's at a hold, and we believe that it was one of two places. Perhaps it was the cave of Adullam, or it might have been what's also referred to as the stronghold of En-Gedi. In either case, we find that David, in this particular portion of his life, is fleeing from Saul. Saul is hunting him. Saul wants to kill him. You remember that David, after he slew Goliath, the women, they sang, David has slain his 10,000s and Saul his 1,000s. And Saul became immediately jealous of David and really wanted to eliminate him. He tried a number of different things, but we find that God protected him. And now David is fleeing for his life. Saul is looking for him. And God is bringing to the side of David some men. Now, what's interesting about these particular men that comes to him, if you notice there in verse number 16, there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. What's so significant about that? The tribe of Benjamin. Do you remember what tribe Saul was of? He was the tribe of Benjamin. And so we look here and we find that David, as he suspicions that perhaps they're here for spy purposes, he challenges them. Did you notice what he said in verse number 17? If ye come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be made unto you. But if you come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. He is basically saying to these people, listen, if you come to me, I will certainly trust there will be a blessing upon your life. If you're coming to help me, if not, I'm looking to curse your life. Well, as soon as he says that, we find this man, Amasai, stands up and with tremendous decisiveness aligns he and those with him with David. He aligns with a fugitive. He aligns with a fellow who has described himself on one occasion as a flea. And yet we find that Amasai says, we're on your side. Though I be of the house of Benjamin, we're on your side. And I believe the reason is very simple. If you notice in verse number 17, he says, or verse number 18, he says, for thy God helpeth thee. He recognizes in David that God be for him. And thus he, along with these of Judah, have come to stand with him. They have come against what is impossible odds. He has come to meet a challenge to help David, who is with only a few hundred men, to help him against the mighty forces of King Saul. But what's unique about this situation is that because of what he does, there are many, many others who are inspired to join with him. If you drop down to verse number 22, it says, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host like the host of God. Here they come to be of help to David. We find even the temple workers. As we go down through the list of people that are mentioned here in the next few verses, we find that there are some of the tribe of Levi that come to help David. These are those who are the priestly tribe, like their fathers of old. Not Levi himself, for if you remember, Levi himself had aligned himself with Simeon and had killed, mass murdered, if you please, the Shechemites. But we find a few years later that under the direction of Moses, these who were of the loins of Levi turned the curse that is pronounced upon him in Genesis chapter 49 into a blessing. Listen to this in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse number 19 says, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. Now, you know what that's talking about, don't you? That's talking about the time that Moses on the mount, he's received the Ten Commandments from God, but God has told him, hey, listen, the folks have turned away from me. Moses comes down, and certainly, what does he find? They have built a golden calf. They're dancing around this golden calf. And Moses, at this time, is very angry. In verse number 26 of that same chapter, the Bible says this, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, and listen to this, and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now here's some people. Here's these priestly tribe. They have become very decisive in their actions for God. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? They said, we're on the Lord's side. Notice what Moses says. In chapter 32, verse 27, he said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. That is harsh. He has told the Levites, these men who would be what we might consider pastors and leaders in the church if it was in our situation, he has said to them, strap on the sword and go slay all of these involved with this. It doesn't stop there. The next verse says, "And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." There's something I'd like for us to understand, and that is the characteristics that are in our life seem to be passed on to our children. And these men of action, as they stepped up to the desire of Moses and God, brought into that family, into that group of men, a determination that lasts for many, many, many years. And we see that same kind of decisiveness and action by those who follow much later. Interesting. Notice verse 27 of our chapter. Verse 27. It says, and by the way, of the children of Levi, talks about verse 26, and Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. We're just picking out a few of these. It speaks of the come after we see Amasai making his decision. And we see this person of Jehoiada. He's what's so important about him. How many remember we spoke on Benaiah? Benaiah. We found that back in the previous chapter. He was one of David's mighty men. And he and Jehoiada, they were priests. They were those who had been servants in the temple. And yet, when time came, they stood in the ranks and fought for their leadership. I think about a man named John Muhlenberg. Anybody ever heard that term or that name? John Muhlenberg. It's a very important name in American history. John Muhlenberg was a pastor in Woodstock, Virginia, when the war for America's independence broke out. John Muhlenberg got in the pulpit and he began to preach. And as he preached, he challenged the men of his church to join with him and to march against those that were trying to put us under siege, the English people. And he led the men of that church, and they began to join, or they went and joined up with General Washington and fought in the war for Americans' independence. When the war ended, he had become a major general, and then they all went back home to their church and their life once again. But we see here that here's a man that was willing to step up and do the job. We see the early days of another priest. If you go to verse number 28, it says, "And Zadok, a young man of mighty valor, and of his father's house, 20 and 2 captains." Zadok. He was one of the three who was called to the bedside of David when he was dying. Here's another that he stand with David. He was the son of Phinehas. Phinehas, you might remember, is the fellow who took the spear and put it through the bellies of Zimri and Gozbi, the Israelite man and the Moabitish woman who were committing fornication, really at the temple steps. And we find now his son comes into this position and joins up with David. They're decisive. They are wanting to get into the battle and to put this man in a position that they believe God wants him to. God honors him at a later day, by the way, Phinehas. In the book of Psalm, chapter 106, it says, "Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore." You say, why are you looking at all of this? Well, I believe that we live in a day and age that we cannot be neutral. We live in a time that we're going to have to stand for something. We cannot be neutral. You can't be on David's side and Saul's side at the same time. Matter of fact, you cannot just do nothing, because if you do nothing, you'll be on the wrong side. There was a poster during World War II, and the poster read, "Idle hands work for Hitler." We could put that, "Idle hands work for whom?" The devil. You and I, we cannot be neutral. There's a job that must be done. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. You and I are called by God to stand up and to be what? Different. Not just different for different sake, but to be something for He. To stand in the gap, to make up the hedge. There's a job for us to accomplish. There's a people that we must reach out to. There's a warfare that must be fought. And God is calling us to do it. Do we have the decisiveness to do it? Or do we sit around and moan and groan and whine and complain? Or do we get at it? There's children, there's adults, there's people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a job to be accomplished. There's work to be accomplished. And we live in a day we cannot be neutral. And that choice needs to be made in our lives. Not only today, but every day. Joshua, as he looked out over the crowd of people, that nation of Israel, after he had come to the end of his life and had led them into the promised land, and much of that had been conquered, he stood before them and he said, If it seem evil unto any of you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. He makes the declaration. He stands fast, and certainly that is what he did. I like Elijah as he stood on Mount Carmel, and there we find that the prophets of Baal had been gathered together. And we find that the sacrifice was laid out and God answered by fire. And Elijah came to all the people and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know whose side they chose in their non-answer? It was the wrong side. God wants us to be decisive and decide to follow Him and to accomplish what it is that He has there. Too often we hem and haul. Too often we beat around the bush. Too often we, maybe I will, maybe I won't. When God shows us something to do, do it. Amen? Do it. A decisive word at that moment would have been, amen! Amen? You're not catching it. A decisive word at that moment would be, amen. We need to have that kind of courage and that kind of stamina. So we find here a group of men who said, hey, we're going to join you. Saul might be our brother, but God's on your side. And you're on God's side. And we're going to join up with you. And we're going to stand with you. We're going to fight with you. We're going to do whatever it takes. And we read this story, we find that God looks at these men and calls them David's mighty men. You can't be a mighty man when you're indecisive. It must take that choice that says, I am going to stand. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we have the privilege to stand on the Lord's side. Lord, we're so blessed. Sometimes, oh God, we just get so enthralled with blessings, enthralled with comforts, and enthralled with all of those things, so we forget there's a battle. Lord, we pray today that we might be a people who are willing to stand fast. Lord, all around this country and the world, we have young men and women who stand in harm's way to protect our nation. We have a big crop of young people who are willing to step up and do the same. But, oh God, we know there's even a greater battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's for the hearts and souls of the men and women of this nation and even this world. Oh God, help us to stand in that gap. Give us the courage, the the stamina, Lord, to be that kind of person, the decisiveness, that willingness to do it. Lord, bless in the days and the weeks to follow. Glorify yourself in every life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.